Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio productions from this and many other independent community stations across the country. I'm your host, Dori Smith, of radio station WHUS in Storrs, Connecticut.
You might try to create peace. It's not going to be completed 100%, but just try.
Today on Sprouts, a Gaza teenager reaches out to President Barack Obama for help after Israeli bombs kill her young friend and destroy her school. Her friend died en route to the hospital, and according to the International Committee of the Red Cross, in most instances, it takes hours for Gaza's ambulances to reach the wounded.
Our team in Gaza has found that the scale of devastation is far, far worse than we expected. We've likened it to an area that's been flattened by an earthquake or that looks like a moonscape. Apartment buildings, supermarkets, roads, all of that completely devastated. Secondly, there have been irrefutable evidence of attacks on civilian targets using banned substances like white phosphorus. White phosphorus is a burning agent that, if used on a civilian target, constitutes a war crime. Even the attack on the UN school was using this white phosphorus agent. Now, these are weapons that are manufactured or were supplied by the United States to Israel. Congress has an obligation to investigate whether or not this was used, which we found it was used, and if it was in fact used, then this is a violation of U.S. law. And to me, what's really shocking about this whole issue is that when people say, well, what can be done, it's really a question of impunity. Israel has been given complete carte blanche by the U.S. I'm happy the Obama administration is giving $20 million, but they really need to step out and say, these are crimes. You cannot attack a UN school. You cannot attack any school and get away with it. The U.S. will not support something like that. And that's what we should push the Obama administration to say.
On February 4th, we were able to reach 14-year-old Noor Karma. She's been living in Gaza City throughout many days of war. She joined us by phone to talk about a story she wrote for the online magazine Counterpunch. Her title was, Will I Die Too? We asked her to describe her life in Gaza.
Other people are worried, and you can't just go out like other people and visit friends and family members and live the life you wish for or something. I just wish a new president for the USA might change and make peace somehow. Palestinian people can't have their simple human rights. That's all they wish for, nothing more.
I understand you lost a friend. How did that happen? Christine was her name?
Yes, her name was Christine. She can't breathe very well. She was sick, and she got injured because the bombing was behind her home. When she got injured, she went to the hospital, so on her way she can't handle it, and she just died.
Are you in a very populated area?
Yes, I'm in the center of the Gaza City, actually. It's a place where they can stay safe. The people that live beside us have nothing to do with politics, so that's why you can hear no bombing beside us. It might be close, but not very close to us.
Noor, you said in what you wrote that your school was bombed.
Yes. When I knew about the school, I was really worried and felt very sad because it's the best school in Gaza. They just want to destroy best educational places in Palestine. And I went to this school for 9 years, so it was really horrible when I saw it. And it was very hard because right now I don't know where to study and I barely speak Arabic. It's very hard. I don't know how to write Arabic really good.
And had you gone to that school for a long time?
Actually, I learned my alphabet there. I learned how to write my name, how to spell my mother's name. I went to kindergarten in an English school, but it's not there anymore. I went to American International Schools, grade 1. I'm in grade 9 now. I learned American history, and we learned literature, geography, everything. But it's very hard when you find the best place in your life, your second family, your second home, just destroyed with nothing to do with all this.
Grade 9, how old are you now?
I'm 14 years old.
And you write that your future is almost destroyed. That sounds like you're very worried right now.
Yes.
Can you tell me what you hope to do with your life?
Actually, I once wished, until now, I just wished to make a place, you know, like a club for old people. I have a lot of dreams, actually. They're all personally and Like, I care about people a lot. I wanted to make a school for orphans and stuff. But it's, like, hard because I told you I've never been to an Arabic school. I just went for almost a year. It was very hard because, you know, Arabic and language and speaking and talking and everything. So I got used to English writing. And that's why it's almost destroyed because they want another 5 years to rebuild this American International School. And they won't make it the same. That's what I think.
A lot of people have told me about Gaza, that it's a difficult place to live. It's a difficult place to get things, even now, food and water, right?
Yeah. I know a lot of friends who's in their homes, electricity, water, everything is not available. My dad's house, actually I live with my mom and stepfather right now, but my dad's house was really destroyed. Windows, electricity, water, and the doors, the elevator, everything. The ceiling was almost falling. So it's really horrible for me.
Do you have enough food and, you know, do you have enough of what you need there now?
Actually, my mom works in the UN, so she got news about the war was starting and stuff. So she stored some food and some things. We have enough for another month, but I don't think, you know, when you go to supermarkets, you might find empty bottles and stuff because they have nothing, no borders, no nothing. So that's why it's very hard.
So your mom works for the UN. I was listening to reports from the UN, and the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon was quite upset because the UN building was bombed as well. Can you talk about that? Do you know about that?
No, actually, I don't know. They bombed the school, the UN school, I think, but she doesn't work in that. She works for something in human rights and stuff.
What do you think the new U.S. President Barack Obama could actually do to help you? Have you given it any thought?
Well, I think because all the people, and we all know that America, you know, helps Israel and stuff, so I just wish he might just think about the people and put himself instead of one of the families who lost their homes, lost their families, lost some friends, relatives, anything. He would really, I know, we're all human beings and he can feel for us. So he has two daughters. I really wonder if one of them was injured, just injured in some of the bombing. You know, it would really be, he would really feel sorry for them and sad and I just want him to feel and put himself instead of other Palestinian people. That's all I think of. So he might do that and try to create peace. It's not going to be completed 100%, but just try. Because we're all human beings, we can live in a peaceful world, happy, let the Palestinian people take their human, their simple, I can say, simple human rights and travel wherever they want and be like other people.
When was the last time you can remember traveling and having a good time where you live?
That was before 3 years, I think. We were used to travel every summer to, you know, have fun and stuff, but we can't anymore. Even if you go to a friend's house to have some fun, you just feel worried and want to go home as soon as possible, and you can't have the fun you used to have or you wish for having.
And do you think that you could be friends with American kids, even Israeli kids, if given half a chance?
Actually, my mom went to Israel for almost a month. She made a lot of Israeli friends. We call them every day and make sure they're fine and okay. Well, when I make friends, I don't think about that's an American, that's an Israeli, that's, you know. It's just you're human beings and you feel you want to be friends with other people so you can know what they feel and how they feel about you. And just to try to help your country to communicate with other people from all around the world. When my article was published in Counterpunch, I made a lot of friends. We keep emailing each other every day and make sure we're fine. So it's really fun.
About that article in Counterpunch, when you were writing that, did you cry?
Yeah, I cried a lot, actually. And every time when I just remember about my school or about my friend, I keep crying a lot. It's really hard. So I just put myself in some other, like, I pretend I'm one of the people who lost their mothers, lost their sisters, brothers, father, anything. It's really hard. I'm crying for the loss of one of my friends. What about the other people?
It sounds like you're a person with lots of empathy, like your mom probably is, right?
Yeah.
But when we have empathy, there's a lot of suffering there too. And I just hope that you can be okay emotionally and understand that you're the most important person right now in your mother's life, certainly. And you have to really look out for yourself too, right?
Yeah, actually, all the people here in Gaza, you know, we're just trying to be happy as much as possible and forget about all that as much as possible. It's really hard, but we're just trying. We try to be strong. Pretend, actually, not try.
It sounds to me like you're a very strong young woman.
Yeah. I love life. It depends on the way you live, depends on how much you love life. I really love it, actually. I want to make a lot of things to help people in my life when I grow up. Help orphans, old people, just make a new Gaza and make it just more peaceful and stuff. Even though we can't make peace with Israel, we can make peace with ourselves first and live peacefully alone. As much as you want to live and as much as you want life, you can live and do all the things you dream.
Are you able to go on the internet at all or no?
Yes, I am. Actually, I just sign in and look at my emails from friends all over the world, answer them, and we talking. I really feel comfortable talking to them, and it just helps me a lot to forget all of the suffering we are in Gaza.
I'm just going to read a little bit of what you wrote in Counterpunch about losing your friend and about the war. You write, "I feel very sorry for her and for her family. Her parents did the best they can do, but it wasn't enough. So the result was death. What if my parents can't protect me and give me the support I need? Will I die too? My future is almost destroyed. An Israeli rocket hit my school a few days ago, and the school was destroyed completely. I really can't imagine why they're bombing religious and educational places such as mosques, schools, and universities. With every explosion, we feel our house shaking and about to be destroyed. What about the people that already lost their homes? I'm crying for the loss of one of my friends. What about the people that lost five of their relatives or more? Depression and fear are filling our souls and surrounding our homes. What's next? I don't wish for anything as much as I wish that this war will end soon and that the Palestinian people can live like any other people and Palestinian children can enjoy their childhood like any children in the world. Help us, because we are all human beings. Noor Karma, that's your message.
Yes, I just want them to feel for the Palestinian peoples and innocent children killed every day and that are suffering now without homes or parents.
I'm so delighted to speak with you. And now, of course, I'm going to be worrying about you, but I'm very glad to have met you.
Don't worry. I think I'll be fine. I'm strong enough to live.
It sounds like you are. Noor Karma, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Welcome.
Peace activists at the Storrs chapter of the American Friends Service Committee, a pacifist Quaker group, gathered to watch a film created by Palestinian director Mohammed Alatar and produced by Palestinian Agricultural Relief Committees and Palestinians for Peace and Democracy. They were joined by local residents, students, and professors who held a lively discussion afterward.
My name is Rifat. I am a UConn student, second year.
Some people said they wanted to tape messages for Noor Karma.
I would like to tell you, no matter what, never give up hope. There's always hope in this world. Otherwise, this world wouldn't exist. There's always hope. There is always hope, and we will always be there for you. Hope will come. And pray to God, you will be fine.
And tell me what you're studying at UConn.
I'm studying computer engineering.
And how old are you?
I am 20.
And where are you from?
I was born in Bangladesh.
And so you're a person who knows about the need to hope, aren't you?
Yes, indeed.
Do you think young people could organize and share her message of peace and asking Barack Obama for help?
Absolutely, absolutely. That is the right thing to do, and that is, I would say, the best thing to do. It's to go to those top people who has control over media, who has control over public opinion, who has control over the world.
Connecticut peace activist Stanley Heller, founder of the Middle East Crisis Committee in New Haven and producer of the cable TV show The Struggle, attended the film in order to answer people's questions about the difficulty of life in Gaza and the struggles there due to the Israeli occupation. He, too, is a teacher and wanted to share a message for Noor Karma.
I was very sad to hear about the destruction of your school. I'm a school teacher myself. Kids who are 12 and 13-year-olds are in my classes. And I think this situation is so terrible over there that American teachers might be sympathetic. And if people in Gaza could write about what happened to their schools in great detail, that perhaps Americans could send money to UNRWA to help rebuild them and also get involved in learning about the Palestinian issue. So I hope that young people in Gaza are right about what happened to their school.
Central Connecticut State University Professor Shengai Raghavan brought his students with him. He urged people to put the Middle East in context with other parts of the world, like South Africa.
When we look at the Middle East crisis, we've got to see it contextually and within the world structure. And I think we have invaded 156 countries in the world. We continue to invade them directly or indirectly.
What about your students? Do you talk to them like you're talking with us now? What's their reaction, and do you have hope for kids right now?
Stand up and say, oh, you're the student here, Asghar.
He did, in fact, tell us those two things on the first day of class. And a lot of the people's reactions around was just a stunned face, because we never thought of that. The class is thought-provoking. A lot of people have said intelligent things in it, in our class, and our generation is ready to do something about it. So but he is right. I mean, I've only had two professors that even bother to tell us, did you know that the rest of the world lives on $2 American a day? No. Who would have told me? I can go buy coffee and someone else can buy 3 bowls of rice. So, we need more professors that are willing to not be like CNN and Fox and the rest of the commercial news.
And what's your name?
Amanda West.
Amina Young was born in Morocco and is now an American citizen. After viewing the film, she said she had concerns about what her own child in school in Connecticut might be learning about the Middle East. And she said she had a message of hope for Noor and a message for Americans and others who might help her.
I want to send a message right now to the American people that I want to tell them, because I know a lot of them, they don't know what's going on, and I want to tell them that there is a humanity crisis in Gaza and Gaza calling for help. And if you can do something, please, to help these people. Right now, there is a big crisis. A lot of kids, they don't have food to eat. They don't have home to live. They don't have even the hospital. There is thousands of injuries, people from the war dying, and, you know, they don't have no medicine, no clean water to drink, you know, and the whole world is, you know, watching right now. And, you know, we have to do something, because this is not a responsibility just for the Palestinian people. This is for any human being. He has the responsibility, you know, to do something to help, to stop what's going on.
Elizabeth Aronson, associate professor at Central Connecticut State University in New Britain, Connecticut, was at the film to respond to questions afterward. But she first responded to the frightening scenes of violence in the film. At one point, Jews dressed for prayer could be seen shooting at Palestinians and into Palestinian homes.
According to the Israeli group Peace Now, the overwhelming majority of settlers, 80% of them, consider themselves to be economic settlers. But the other 20% are ideological, hardcore religious zealots. They are well armed and have no hesitation in using these arms.
These ideological settlers chose to live deep in heavily populated Palestinian areas, especially the settlers down in Hebron, chose to live deep in Palestinian areas because that's where they would break the Palestinians That's where they would fragment their contiguity, surround them, lock them into islands, and create these pathways between the settlements and Israel proper.
At one point in the film, Jews dressed for prayer could be seen shooting into Palestinian homes, and the one-time civil rights worker in Mississippi, Elizabeth Aronson, cringed. The Jews also threw a Molotov cocktail into a crowded Palestinian home. Elizabeth Aronson is co-founder of the peace group We Refuse to Be Enemies. It consists of Jews, Muslims, Christians, and others.
I saw some of the settlers with the talis. This is the prayer shawl. This is the holy thing that they're supposed to be doing, and they're doing killing. Oh, no, this is what you wear in the synagogue when you pray. You don't go kill people and throw stones at people and ruin people's houses and drive them out. Above all, from a Jew, I want you to know that you are not being anti-Semitic if you criticize the government of Israel. And I want you to criticize the government of Israel. I want you all to call, who's your congressman, Courtney here? And
yeah.
I want you all to call Courtney, because Courtney is one of the three who did not sign, one of the three Connecticut representatives who did not sign the letter to the State Department, to Hillary Clinton, saying there's a humanitarian crisis in Gaza and we have to address it. Murphy signed it. My congressperson from New Britain signed it. DeLauro signed it, to their credit, although they voted in bloc for this awful Israeli government. Everything is about Israeli security, and Israel gets to do whatever it wants to do. What self-defense did you see there, right? The Israelis defending themselves against what? It's just such a lie.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Dori Smith of WHUS at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. As we considered how to help Noor Karma, we turned to Barbara Olson of the Madison Rapha Sister City Group in Madison, Wisconsin. She's a local activist working tirelessly to build person-to-person relationships between the people of Wisconsin and America and Rafah near Gaza. Her group coordinates their efforts with assistance from the Almazen Center for Human Rights in Gaza City.
I would really encourage people to explore whatever kind of people-to-people connections on this issue they can. I think if you can go to Palestine, and there are many tours and kinds of things that people can go on, it's worth doing. It's the most valuable thing you can learn in 2 or 3 weeks, you know, things that it's taken me years and years and years to learn. And it's very valuable, and that for people who can't go, that they should look into many different opportunities. You know, there's sister cities, but there's many other kinds of things that you can do that you wind up in direct connections with people in the civil society in Palestine and in the human rights movement, which is very large there, actually, and that people, the more people do that, the better perspective that you'll get, and it helps in terms of understanding what kinds of things make sense to do here to support the struggle for justice in Palestine.
Barbara Olson, what do you make of Noor Karma's message for Barack Obama?
Well, it would be nice if he would respond in the sense that when he expressed sympathy for the children in Sderot and mentioned his own two daughters, you know, that if they were living in southern Israel and the rockets were coming, that he would be, you know, wanting to defend them, if it would prompt him to be more even-handed and to recognize that children in Gaza also are suffering and that this should remind him of his own daughters, you know, that would be a good thing. I think given the reality of politics in this country, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that there's been a bipartisan consensus for a long time in this country that even though some occasionally express sympathy for the human, you know, suffering of the Palestinians, there's really not any willingness in terms of the political system to acknowledge that there's even equality, let alone that one side might have a far greater oppression, you know, than the other. Having said that, I think there is a tremendous sentiment in the Arab world, as there is all around the world, that they're really hoping that having gotten rid of Bush and having put Obama in, that this would be a new day and that he would be more sympathetic. I think that's important to know, and I'm sure even a ninth grader in Gaza would share that sentiment, but I don't think it's going to happen, and that I think there's already beginning to be a fair amount of disillusionment in the Arab world with the fact that he said absolutely nothing during that whole three-week bombardment, and that what he did come out with eventually was pretty much, you know, to support Israel.
Can there be more activism around the question of getting Palestinians the very thing that young Noor Karma is asking for, their basic human rights?
I think the American peace movement has made great strides in the years probably since the Iraq war started, and part of it has to do with the fact that, you know, we did conduct that war, and now we're talking about going into Afghanistan, and there's been a lot of progress made in terms of linking the issues and understanding that the Palestinian issue, which many saw for a long time as either divisive or a side issue or whatever for the peace movement, didn't want to deal with it. I think that people are beginning to grasp the absolute centrality of this issue to the whole conflict in the region. And I think that's increasingly less of a problem for maybe what you would call the peace movement. I think where that has not changed is within the Democratic Party. I think that there has not yet been a big fight within the Democratic Party of any kind of alternative. And so there's actually a distinction that could be made between sort of the liberal wing of the Democratic Party versus the peace movement in terms of the grassroots peace movement. And I think that if the grassroots peace movement continues to take this issue up more, to deal with it more as a central component, then that should be done, it must be done, and that it will actually at some point probably begin to have an impact even within the Democratic Party. I thought it was very interesting that the first poll that came out, I think it was a Rasmussen poll, when Israel first started bombarding Gaza, that I think it was something only like about 31% of Democrats, people that identified themselves as Democrats, supported that, whereas a huge 60-some percent of Republicans supported it. So you don't necessarily have a mass base in the Democratic Party for this kind of thing, but you have a very tight control at the upper levels of the Democratic Party where they do not brook any dissent on this or very little dissent. And so you have, you know, Denis Kucinich out in kind of a lonely role and a few people following him, but Congress, you know, unfortunately has not moved. But I think in the peace movement as proper, I think there has been enormous strides in the last few years in terms of the understanding of this issue.
Barbara Olson of Madison Rafa Sister City, madisonrafa.org. That's it for Sprouts. You heard portions of the film The Iron Wall, produced by Palestinian Peace and Agricultural Organizations and directed by Mohammed Alatar. The video is available online. And in addition to our Sprouts theme music, we also heard music by Fritz Heed, fritzheed.com. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. This show is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact Air Traffic Controller Ursula Rudenberg at ursula@pacifica.org. That's URSULA at pacifica.org. I'm your host, Dori Smith of WHUS Radio in Storrs, Connecticut. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts. Thank you.